Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
And it's always good to have the Major Billy Downer with us here on Sports Talk from DNR. It is SC Wild across the state of South Carolina on what was a pleasant day today and a pleasant evening, but things will be changing here in the next 48 hours or so, we are told. If you have a question for the Major related to wintry weather and dealing with that or things going on in the outdoors from a hunting, fishing standpoint, phone number 888-898-2525. We'll put you right in touch with the Major. He can handle any question, observation, complaint that you might have. Major, good evening. Good to have you with us.
Great to be here on a nice, another chilly night in South Carolina.
Have you got the fire going?
I have not got the fire going tonight, but I will certainly have it going at some point unless it gets rained out literally tomorrow. We'll see. We certainly have some weather moving in. We'll talk about that in a minute, but you know, just wrapping up some of the hunting season right now, you know, we're still in waterfowl season. Cold weather usually always brings ducks, it feels like, for us. Not so much the last week. We haven't seen a big push of ducks. Most of the ponds in the state are slow at best. One or two have a few ducks, but it's just been a really, really slow duck season for most of our folks here in South Carolina. A lot of folks going out of state and having some success as they push below some of these fronts coming across North America here, just kind of pushing through the heartland and pushing ducks down into Texas, down into Arkansas, Oklahoma. Anyway, Louisiana having some better seasons than us right now, but we just are pretty dismal right now when it comes to ducks. You know, quail season's still in. We got the small game, squirrel, rabbit, and raccoon season still in. Just had the Grand American just a few weeks ago. Big national event there in Orangeburg. So that's kind of a wrap-up of hunting for us right now. Today is the second day of day two of 25 new officers for DNR. We had 25 young people start with us yesterday. New officers, their first day on the job, taking their swearing-in ceremony from the colonel and our director. Glad to have them with us. And they've started their training immediately, and they will move into what we call firearms training tomorrow and into next week, Glock transition. So excited about that. They'll be transitioning into a new weapon system that we've just transitioned our field officers over to. Happy and excited about that. Our colonel was really forward-thinking and putting us out there. We are moving back to a 9mm platform, which for the gun guys out there, they understand there's been a big push. You know, years ago, they went from the 357 to the 40 to the Glock 40 or the 40 caliber, and we're moving back to the 9 because the 9s are just, with the military, so much readily available when you have ammunition shortages. And the 9, as far as a caliber and ballistics, have changed, and they've actually improved them a little bit. Very good weapon system as far as the Model 45, one of the newest Glock pistols out there. It's a shorter frame. Easier to carry on side, and we've got an aim point on there that's pretty amazing with a red dot sight, one of the first agencies to go to that. That's just the new age. And with these kids, believe it or not, coming to us, it's so much easier to train them in shooting because they're used to Call of Duty, Halo, all these things with red dot sights. So playing video game, believe it or not, it's easier to train somebody a lot of times with a red dot because they're familiar with it. That sounds funny, but it's the reality of the world we live in today. These young people, you look at the military and how they're transitioning over to drones and things that make it easier for these kids that are the video game generation to move into. But anyway, our new officers have started. We're excited about that. They'll be learning what they need to know right now in the next few days and weeks, and soon starting to the academy. And then our pre-certified guys will be, that were officers already with other departments, sheriff's offices, patrol, whatever. They'll be going into the field for a short time and then going to wildlife school in the coming months together when those guys get out, the other ones get out of the academy. So,
let me ask you a quick question.
Yeah.
You're talking about the new and the guns that you have and all that, around the state with your agents, how often would you say that a gun is used by an agent?
Well,
and actually, when I say used, not just drawn, I mean fired. How often do you have somebody in your force have to fire a weapon?
Thank the Lord, very little. In my career, I can think of only a few incidences where an officer has had to fire a weapon. One was my partner years ago on a situation with a stolen vehicle. A guy tried to run him down. That was years ago, back in Clarendon County, a long time ago. There's been a few instances with some different stops where people, again, a lot of times it's involved a vehicle most of the time, where a vehicle's trying to run down somebody or drag somebody. But very little, honestly, throughout my career, and I'm glad to say that. You know, I don't think any officer ever wants to pull his weapon on anybody. I think there's so much out there negative-wise on law enforcement today. I think a lot of people don't give credit to the thousands of officers that are out there that never draw their weapon, that try to do everything the right way, that when they draw their weapon, it's their last, you know, it's their last prerogative. They've reached the point they've got to draw that weapon. It's not the first thing they go to. And I think our officers are that way. We deal so much with guns anyway. I mean, we're around people with guns all the time. And sometimes that can be a little scary for a guy coming from a sheriff's office where you go to see a guy with a gun. It's a little different story, you know. For us, we're checking somebody with a gun every day. No big deal. And those situations could get just as deadly, I guess, if somebody gets ugly, but I'm really proud to say that our officers are really good with talking to people. We try to hire people that can talk. And the ones that don't talk very well don't make it. Our guys know how to, and gals know how to talk to people, to get along and just try to, you know, work through things, I think, better than anybody. I give them all the credit in the world for that. And that's what hunting and fishing is about. And I think that's what we really personify in our officers. So I'm proud of that. But yeah, Phil, that's a question people always want to know. How many times have you drawn your gun?
Yeah.
You know, there's stops, the high risk stops, night hunting. When you stop somebody night hunting, you draw your weapon then because there's a firearm involved and it's dark and you don't know what's going on. It doesn't mean you're going to pull the trigger. But you're taking care of what's called a high risk stop. And those are few and far between. But they happen. But anyway. Let's talk about the weather for a minute. I want to say this, Phil. I am sorry I could not get our state climatologist on the phone tonight. Last minute thought when you asked me about it, but we're going to get her on the next show. We'll go ahead and line that up for the next show. And she will be a wealth of information. She is very smart. A big resource for DNR. A lot of people don't probably know that the state climatology office is within DNR. It's actually in the land and water section of DNR, and they helped determine weather patterns and predictions during storms like what we see coming, what came this past weekend. And I'm very proud to say that Hope Mazzell and her staff take it very, they take it serious. They love their job, and they want to help our officers. They want to help the other officers across the state, the other agencies across the state prepare for things like this, DOT included. And they're very proud to be accurate in their forecasts. They try to be very careful. And they work, of course, with the National Weather Service, as everyone does, but they really take a hard look at what the forecasts are and try to be very conservative and accurate in their forecasts. So I really want to shout out to Hope and her staff. And we'll get to hear from her next time, and she can really give us some wealth of information. But let me talk about what's coming. You know, people want to know, well, why is DNR worried about that? Well, first of all, I just explained we have the state climatology office. That's one thing. and the next part of it is our officers, whether you know it or not, we have four-wheel drive trucks. We talked about that. We have ATVs. We have all those. We have the equipment that can get around in nasty weather. So when nasty weather comes, as a member of state law enforcement, we are called upon to assist the highway patrol first when it comes to these types of events so that we can assist them with the bad weather because our vehicles can make it on icy roads and snow roads and things like that. So That's what we do. And so when it comes to this kind of weather like what's coming, we work for the Highway Patrol, essentially. They tell us where they need help, and we plug it in and put our officers there. So our officers were up and down 85 this past weekend, I-20, 26, stationed up and down, even 95 until they were cut loose. But that's the kind of stuff we do, and we patrol basically looking for motorists who need assistance. Back in 2014, if you remember that big ice storm happened then, you know, our officers were up and down the road helping motorists. Back then, so was I. I remember riding the road myself, working a detail, and picking people up, getting them to a truck stop if they got stuck or something, and getting them off the road where they could be safe and warm. So that's what our officers do. For this week coming up, tomorrow, looks like all of the weather patterns that we're looking at right now seem to be somewhat in agreement, and there's always that one weird model out there. It's kind of funny. You know, we're always used to looking at these weather models when it comes to hurricanes. The Euro model. I remember hearing all those words of these things. NWS model. Anyway, sounds like I'm almost talking about wrestling. NWA. You remember you got to the WWE, whatever. the models that they come up with. But what we're looking for, it looks like rain's going to come in tomorrow, and it's going to be pretty wet across the state through the night, Thursday night. Friday, looks like colder air is going to push in and turn that wet weather into ice for most of the I-20 to I-95 corridor between there.
I can guarantee rain tomorrow. I got my car washed today, so I can guarantee it's going to rain tomorrow.
Absolutely. You got that right.
Yeah.
No matter when you wash your car.
Let me ask you a question before we talk about what's ahead the rest of this week. Let's turn the page back to this past weekend. I was actually in Atlanta, so that's North Georgia. And as I was leaving, it was snowing, but there was no ice, and the roads never iced. I came out of Atlanta. This was on Sunday morning, early afternoon. And as I crossed into South Carolina, well, actually, as I got into around, right around, what's the lake there? About an hour out of Atlanta, the snow practically stopped, and it was dry roads all the way in on I-20 into Columbia. No problems. It looked like the issues of you mentioned were the upstate and I-26, maybe Newberry West, and in that area. How, from the assessment of your people around the state, how bad was it, and where are they now? In I guess maybe still digging out or getting power back. How did things stand?
Well, I can give you a report from Cora Lee Downer right there in Clemson, South Carolina. She'll tell you they had a bunch of snow. They enjoyed it.
Mm.
They got about 4 inches to 6 inches of snow as you move up toward the mountains from Clemson. Of course, that's the mountains. That's where they're going to get snow, Greenville area, as you go up toward the mountains there. They did get snow mostly. The roads are still frozen on secondary roads. It did warm up today. She was telling me, she sent me a picture and some videos today of some roads up there that still have ice on them. 418, that road that goes through Pelzer all the way to Clemson, that was cut off between 385 and 85, was pretty bad the last 2 days. Just simply because you got a lot of trees, a lot of shade, and you'd think that road would be clear, but it wasn't. Had a lot of ice on it. Truck jackknifed on it 2 days ago. My training lieutenant came through yesterday, said he didn't know if he was going to make it through it just because it was just so slick. And that's with a four-wheel drive vehicle. So you know the people that get out there that don't have four-wheel drives and what happens to them. So secondary roads are where the problems came in the upstate, and that's 418. So that's up there. That's upstate, but it's not like the mountains,
Yeah.
But there's some pretty good hills there, and it was pretty slick. And so there's roads in the Seneca area still have a lot of ice on them. So if there's roads there, I'm sure there's roads in Upper Greenville County, same way. These secondary roads, these cold nights, the water just refreezes. If it doesn't drain off the road, of course, it refreezes. DOT did a really good job of brining, putting that salt solution, whatever you call it, on the highways. So the highways, for the most part, weren't that big a problem. I think there was a small problem on, I think it said 26, one little short piece of 26, but they got that fixed to move out the way. But they really, DOT really worked really hard. Again, when we do prepare for these, we're in meetings with DOT, Highway Patrol, SLED, Probation, Parole, Pardon Services helps, and then DNR, of course. And we're all basically putting manpower out there to man these highways. but the highways really weren't a problem. It was the secondary roads. We had some power outages. And as everybody knows, snow's not the problem. Snow doesn't cause problems. Sleet does not cause. I'm learning this. I didn't know this. I did not realize the difference between sleet and freezing rain. And we might pull Hope in on that one next time and get a little more detailed in that conversation. It's kind of interesting when you find out what the difference is. And it has to do with the warm air between the cold air where it's coming from and the ground that's cold. But freezing rain is the most dangerous because it will accumulate where sleet doesn't. And freezing rain will accumulate and ice the roads. And that's when you get ice bridges. And you get the black ice and all the problems that we had back in 2014. Ice builds up on limbs with breaks, which goes through power lines with break, which you got power outages. We had some limited outages this past weekend. The concern for this weekend is this event may stall out a little bit and be slower moving, which may allow more time for ice to accumulate, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to give a doomsday approach to this, but we are prepared, and I think patrol's preparing to start working the highways come Friday and put people out there to be prepared, trying to get in front of this just in case. But it looks like that corridor between I-20 and I-95, which is Sumter, Clarendon, right where I live,
mm-hmm.
Florence County on back to Orangeburg, is going to be that area that gets the ice, probably more up Sumter, Clarendon, up Florence, Darlington, that area is where we're going to see the ice accumulation if we get it.
All right, let me ask you this. Of course, everybody kind of panics, snow and ice and all that. So, of course,
yeah, go get your milk sandwich. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Of course, the greatest advice is stay home. If you don't have to be out on the roads, just stay home. But let's just say you're out there, you know, like I had to come back from Atlanta, but I knew everything was going to be okay. I wasn't worried. But let's say you get caught in an ice storm. You're driving the interstate, and you're caught in an ice storm, and you have to drive. You have to keep moving. What advice do you give to drivers out there in navigating in those conditions? If they're in
first
a regular
thing,
automobile, not one of your four-wheelers that can handle it, or a truck or something.
Got it. Well, first thing is speed. Slow down. Slow and steady wins that one.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get too fast. If you're slow and you lose control, a lot easier to gain control. If you're fast, you're going to slide worse. So slow. Stay on the portions of the road where you see black. Where I say black, it's carefully black ice, but I mean, stay on the portions of the road that have been driven. Try to stay off of secondary roads. Stay on main roads. If you've got to travel like that and you're stuck, then travel on roads that have been brined, that the highway departments maintain. The main interstate's going to be where to stay. Secondary roads are going to be where your ice builds up. Always remember, bridges early morning are going to be slick, so be very careful and cautious as you cross any bridgeway because that cold air underneath keeps that bridge cold and makes water freeze, where even the road won't have it, but the bridge will be frozen. That's where you see most of the problems. But again, speed, slow down, be cautious, and just take your time. Best advice, stay home.
Mm-hmm.
Watch a good movie. Curl up by the fire.
Hmm.
By the log fire or a gas fire. Either way.
They both work.
That's mm-hmm. right. Propane works with got power or not. That's the good thing. And so does a log fire. So,
did you hear much, and I haven't really checked out the news that closely, but did you hear much from this last storm across the upstate of any deaths related to it or any injuries related to it?
Not saying there wasn't something, but I did not hear of anything. For the most part, our officers were cut loose a couple of days ago, very soon afterward. On Saturday, went to work. Sunday, by Monday morning, most everybody was cut loose. Or Monday afternoon, I think most everybody was cut loose. So things started to improve. And again, it only takes you get it 44 degrees and things start to melt. Sun helps a lot. It's just what we see. And so here's the other part about what's coming. This is coming this weekend, and right behind it is more cold air and then another system in the first of midweek.
Mm.
So this won't be over this weekend. It's going to come again in a couple of days.
That's not making anybody happy.
No. And that could, you know, there's talk of snow in that one. Don't know. That storm's still far out there. But there certainly is some indications that the weather's going to stay cold. And so when it's cold and you got ice, that leads to continued problems because nothing melts. So I remember in 14, I just remember because I lived on 521 there, and we were without power for 2 days. We were on a main run. And I remember that, but just because the power was, when it goes out and it's slick like there's ice everywhere, and it stays icy, the lines stay heavy, tree limbs break one day, and the next day they break again. They keep, you know, the limbs keep breaking over time. The weight just keeps bearing down on them. So it just depends on what real accumulation of ice we get. Is it going to be severe? Probably not. But if you get a half inch of ice, that's going to cause some issues. It just will.
All right, let me ask you
this. Look at the small power outages we have with the light ice we had in York, Chesterfield, those areas.
Sure. Let me ask you this. We've got about 2 minutes. From the standpoint of the outdoor sportsman in this kind of weather, do people get out and, I don't know, maybe do some ice fishing somewhere? Or
they don't ice fish, but people love to duck hunt in the snow and the ice. I don't know why, but this kind of weather draws a duck hunter out. They just think the duck's going to fill the skies. If the ponds freeze, the duck's going to find my hole where I'm at, and they won't be frozen. I'm going to break me out of ice hole, and I'm going to have some water, and the duck's going to come to me. Sometimes that works. Sometimes it doesn't. But duck hunters particularly like cold weather like this.
But don't you also have to be careful? I mean, like...
Absolutely.
About
hypothermia.
Well, not just that. I'm talking about you might see a pond that looks like it's frozen over or something and walk out there and break through, right? Because let's face it here...
Let me go ahead and say that.
Yeah.
In this state, we don't have ponds that freeze hard enough to walk.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Absolutely.
No, that would be anywhere in the state. You won't find a pond that's solid rock to walk on.
No, you will not. Not in this state. We don't have freeze hard enough for that long a period of time to do that, to allow for ice to accumulate thick enough to support somebody's weight.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Major, while on that subject, another just kind of safety-related question. If you live in particularly more rural area around the state, and we do get ice over this weekend in this potential winter storm, are you better off? Is it safer to stay on more main roads where vehicular traffic will maybe help bring up the temperature and get rid of that ice as opposed to back roads?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what I was talking about. Secondary roads you want to avoid. You want to use main roads, main thoroughfares that vehicles are using, trucks are on. That keeps the ice melted. That's correct. But again, speed, slow down. No doubt about it.
If you get into a skid, I mean, my advice has always been, because, look, I guess we've all at some point have hit some ice and you start to lose control. And some people step on the gas, which is wrong. Some people hit the brakes and that's wrong. I mean, I find just take your foot off the gas, hold onto the wheel tight, take your foot off the gas and let the car kind of redirect itself straight ahead. Is that good advice?
That's correct. That's correct. Actually, take your foot off the gas. Don't hit the brake. Let go. Everybody's first reaction is hit the brake.
Mm-hmm.
And you just get worse. It's like hydroplaning on water. You let your foot off the brake and you counter steer. You steer into that, you know, where your car's sliding. Now, on ice, it's a little different. You can't really counter steer as much on ice. But again, if you're going slow enough and you're not going too fast, that's why we urge you not to speed. Again, don't go out, first of all. But if you're out there, go slow. Try to stay on main thoroughfares. If you do slide, both hands on the wheel, feet off the brake, off the gas, and let the car right itself. That was a good way to put it, Bill.
Yeah. Major, you stay warm. I know you and your guys are going to be very busy over the next several days in the next week dealing with things around the state. Good luck to all of you, and thanks for being with us.
Thanks, sir. Appreciate it. Enjoyed the show tonight.
Same here. Great stuff. Great information from Major Billy Downer. I hope you learned a little something. You can have fun in this snow and in this ice in some ways, but just be smart about it and don't take any unnecessary risks. Thanks to Major Billy Downer. Great session of SC Wild here on Sports Talk. Thank you, Pat Daniel, and thanks to all of you for being with us tonight. We'll see you tomorrow night back on Sports Talk.